What's up, everybody? Welcome to Game Quest of AllQuest.com Game Day Podcast. I am Eric Kane. That is Grant Ramey, and we're getting you set for Tennessee and UTEP here on a senior day for the University of Tennessee as the Volunteers look to improve to 9-2 on the year and finish off the regular season with two straight wins, first starting with UTEP, and then, of course, we'll get to Vanderbilt next week. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to our friends over at PremierGarageKnoxville.com, East Tennessee's number one provider in custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. Again, that is Premier Garage of Knoxville. Be the best Tennessee fan this football season by ordering the Smoky Gray Hybrid Polymer Floor today. You can do that at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. PremierGarageKnoxville.com/falls. More from Premier Garage of Knoxville later in the show. All right, Grant, Tennessee and UTEP coming up. The Volunteers, as expected, a massive favorite, 41.5-point favorites. That total is at 53.5. Tennessee's expected to win big in this one, and quite frankly, Tennessee needs to win big in this one. I mean, the quality of the opponent is not great. The Miners are 2-8, but when you're on the outside looking in currently the college football playoff rankings, you want to go and look like you're the best team in the world, and what an opportunity to run up that score and look good doing it this Saturday on Senior Day.
I mean, I'm not sure it has to be Kent State 63-0 at halftime and 71-0 final score, but it's got to be somewhat in that neighborhood. I mean, it's got to be next level dominant because style points matter. I think we've seen that style points matter. I think Ward Manuel, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee chair, said Tuesday night that how teams are playing the last few weeks matters. I think you look at final scores, I don't know how many teams are, or how many people are going to be watching UTEP Tennessee on SEC Network Plus this weekend, but when they see that final score, it better send a message, not just this week, but next week as well at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, we're going to talk about UTEP in this game. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, UTEP is a 41.5-point dog, one of the worst FBS programs in the country. So, forgive me if I'm not giving the respect that's needed. But we're going to talk about UTEP just a little bit in this specific game later in the show. But you know, Grant, you and I, let's talk about these playoff rankings, kind of what needs to happen. You brought up a good point right there. You know, Charlie Manuel, the chair of the board, you know how you're playing the last few weeks matters. So I understand quality competition's not there, but Tennessee blows out UTEP. Indiana, what if Indiana looks horrible against Ohio State? And that's one of the biggest, you know, talking points, you know, this week in the college football playoff rankings, and certainly this weekend, because we need to see that game play out on paper. Maybe Indiana wins, or maybe Indiana shows that they belong, and you know, people like me and a lot of others are going to be silly for downing Indiana all year long with that 106th strength of schedule. But if Indiana looks like trash and loses this game, not only should it be out based on the strength of schedule and based on no quality wins, but also, as what Manuel just said Tuesday night, how you're playing lately matters. And so that's another reason why Indiana should be left out if they indeed don't look good today against Ohio State. Obviously, that's one to be paying attention to. Notre Dame's a team to pay attention to. All the two-loss SEC teams are, you know, ones to be paying attention to. There's a number of things that can go Tennessee's way right here, but ultimately Tennessee does not control its own destiny.
No, they don't. And it felt like Tuesday night everybody was talking about Army Notre Dame. If Army wins, Notre Dame's out, and then that would be a place for Tennessee to move into the field. It feels like to me the most direct point of contact here, and what Tennessee needs is a Florida win over Ole Miss Saturday in Gainesville. I feel like
which can happen, yeah,
for sure. I think Ole Miss opened as a 12.5-point favorite. I think Notre Dame's a 14.5-point favorite against Army at Yankee Stadium. So obviously, a couple long shots for either of those to happen, but it is possible. And honestly, Sunday I was thinking Indiana could get beat pretty bad by Ohio State, and it would still be hard to deny Indiana at 11-1. But the longer this week has gone on, it feels like it's just been trashing on Indiana all week from all sides. And maybe, you know, at 11-1, I knew they had a strength of schedule around 100, and that's awful. I didn't really look at this schedule, you know, game by game, but they've really played the bottom of the Big Ten schedule, the bottom 6, 7, whatever number of teams there are. Like, they, even for a Big Ten schedule, it was very soft compared to, you know, they didn't get Oregon, they didn't get, you know, whatever, Michigan's down, all that stuff. And we'll see what they look like against Ohio State. I mean, if they get their brains beat in by Ohio State, maybe that changes the conversation and they're out. But the fact is, they've played who's in front of them. They didn't decide their Big Ten schedule. They were given that Big Ten schedule, and they've handled their business really, really well. They've beat teams by an average of, you know, whatever the number is. It's a big one. They've beat teams down. So we'll see what they look like against Ohio State. But I mean, your Tennessee, it's not the end of the world. That was not an elimination game in Athens Saturday night. Tennessee's still alive. Tennessee does not control its own destiny. But This is college football. Crazy stuff happens. Sit back, see what happens over the next 2 weeks, championship Saturday, and go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad in regards and talking to Indiana because, again, you can only do what you can only control what you can control. And what they've done, they've beaten the crap out of teams that are bad. And it's not like they can go schedule somebody better, you know, for week five or whatever. But, you know, we'll see what's exactly going to happen here because, again, that strength of schedule is so bad. I mean, their best wins on the year come against 5-5 teams. And Michigan, who is, again, not Michigan, that just won the national championship. If I'm not mistaken, they didn't either they were shut out or they didn't score hardly anything in the second half of that football game. So
minimal total offense too. They just didn't do anything in the second half of that game.
Yeah, so it's not like you look great doing it. And of course, you know, Nebraska began the season, you know, ranked 23rd or something, or reached as high as 23rd, but it's not been, you know, very good so far this season. But we'll see about Indiana. I'm with you on the Florida knocking off Ole Miss. I think that would be huge, and I think that certainly can happen because Florida's defense has come around. DJ Lagway is going to be an issue for Tennessee for the next couple of years. He and a lot of other teams. He is a good player.
Here's the problem. Name a time in your lifetime where Florida did Tennessee football a favor.
That's true.
Probably didn't. I guess it means that the Gators are due.
Yeah, I guess it means you can look at it that way like the Gators are due, but you've got Florida that can knock off Ole Miss. I don't see Georgia losing at all the last 2 weeks. They play UMass and Georgia Tech. I'm not sure what's Alabama's remaining games. Do you remember?
They have obviously Auburn. Let's Auburn. See. They go to Oklahoma Saturday. So
okay, so happen. I mean, you know, if Oklahoma could finally do Tennessee a solid, that'd be great, but I doubt that's gonna happen. And then of course, you know, Georgia, as I mentioned, you know, Penn State, they've got I don't know who Penn State's got left, but their only quality win so far is number 24, Illinois. You know, so like that's Penn State's resume is not that great. Texas's resume is interesting. Like, I almost wish Texas would go ahead and handle A&M the last game of the regular season so you don't muddy those waters. Because if A&M wins that game, Texas falls down to a two-loss team. Texas's resume is not good, especially compared to Tennessee's. However, Texas is the two seed, ranked number three. I mean, sure, they punished Georgia a couple weeks ago, but do we really see them dropping Texas all the way out of the field? Like, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that, even though when you base the resumes off Tennessee and Texas, I think advantage Tennessee. But, boy, I wouldn't even want to be in that situation, right? I mean, I'd much rather Texas just go ahead and handle A&M to not give Tennessee another opportunity there.
And Tennessee, I think Tennessee fans would be better off, or Tennessee would be better off with Texas handling its business in the next 2 weeks and then winning in Atlanta in the SEC championship game, because it's kind of like a conference championship week in college basketball, where if you're a bubble team, you want chalk in those conference tournaments because you don't want any teams playing their way into the field on that last Saturday before the bracket comes out. You don't want any bid stealers. You don't want any teams that are going to take away an automatic berth and jumble up the rest of the league that's trying to get X number of spots. Like, you want it to be chalk from here on out, and that means, you know, that Texas take care of business and stays a one-loss team. If they can do that, we'll see, because like everybody's been talking about, what's their best win? Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. I think they mentioned Arkansas Tuesday night on the ranking show is a good win, which for some reason is a bad loss for Tennessee at the same time. So it's just confusing trying to figure out every single week what they're looking for. Like, going back to basketball, it makes you miss quad ones, quad two, quad three, quad four wins, because at least that organizes it a little bit. But Tennessee could still get help. It just has to happen.
And the committee just continues to, like, change what they're looking for. Like, it just makes no sense. You've got Alabama at number 7. You've got Ole Miss at 9, Georgia at 10, Tennessee at 11. Yet Ole Miss beats Georgia, but Georgia has a vastly superior resume. Ole Miss is still ranked ahead of Georgia. Tennessee beats Alabama, but Alabama has a better resume. It's Alabama that's ranked ahead of Tennessee. I mean, they're kind of nitpicking themselves and contradicting themselves, which I think this all goes. I think it's as simple as this, man. It all goes back to, hey, when you lost, a month ago. It's okay. That loss doesn't matter. Ole Miss losing to Kentucky at home certainly doesn't matter. Notre Dame losing to an FCS program certainly doesn't matter. But it's if you lost here.
Northern Illinois, not an FCS program.
Well, I mean, might as well be, right?
Let's not disrespect the fill in the mascot name, Northern Illinois, whatever it is.
Yeah, Huskies, let's not disrespect the whatever, but I can't think of what you're called.
I mean, but at the same time, Kentucky winning at Ole Miss September 28th doesn't seem to matter, but Arkansas beating Tennessee on October 5th, a week later, in Fayetteville seems to matter. A road loss for Tennessee at Arkansas, for some reason, you know, just a week later is worse than Kentucky beating Ole Miss, you know, one of the worst teams in the SEC standings, beating Ole Miss in Oxford. It's confusing.
And then it begs the question, like, I don't think that they're going to punish a three-loss SEC championship game loser, okay? But then again, how in the world can you sit here and say Indiana potentially 9-1, or sorry, 11-1, and they're going to miss for a 10-3 SEC team? Like, it's hard. Those are hard conversations. And again, it's a thankless job, and you know, we can complain about it all we want, but it'd be tough to be in those chairs. But I can't imagine them penalizing a two-loss SEC team for playing another game and losing.
No,
I understand.
And the SEC doesn't want that either.
Yeah. And I understand Georgia was penalized last year for losing in the SEC, but I mean, that was a four team. So
right.
I don't know. It's going to be very, very interesting, but there's a logjam of two-loss SEC teams, and it certainly feels right now, Grant, that the committee's saying, "All right, we're going to get four Big Ten, four SEC." Not 5-3, not, you know, whatever the other way. Like, it's 4-4. That's what it feels like right now.
What you hope moving forward is the logjam kind of settles itself and you don't have to rely on the committee to make a bunch of judgment calls. Like, somebody's going to be mad. Team number 13 is going to be mad on December, whatever that date is, 8th, when the bracket comes out. But what you hope is it's not a doomsday scenario where they have to make a bunch of judgment decisions on a bunch of different teams, because, you know, they have a conference call after the rankings come out with Ward Manuel, and it's like 25 minutes, and it almost makes it worse hearing them talk for 25 minutes trying to explain where they're ranking and where they're seeding teams, because it just doesn't make any sense. Like, he was asked about Texas being so much higher than Georgia, despite Georgia beating Texas by 15 in Austin a few weeks ago, and he was just like, well, they got a top-5 defense, and Quinn Ewers has a – they have a pretty good passing game with him at quarterback. And we just think it's almost like an eye test based on the total number of losses for each team. There's a lot of, we just felt this or we just felt that. And it's almost more maddening to hear that and try to figure out what they're looking for, what they're basing it on, after listening to them talk for 25 minutes than if you didn't talk to them at all. So hopefully Selection Sunday, most of this stuff plays out on the field and settles itself and doesn't rely on the committee.
It's like everybody wants officiating to, you know, the white hat, to have a press conference after every game to explain, to be held accountable, which I think there's something to that. It's almost like you'd rather not hear from Charlie
Manuel.
It's
not going to make you feel any better.
And if I'm a committee member, I'm like, dude, just shut up, man. Like, you're not helping
here. And I hate it for him to have to sit there and do it too, because I would not want to be the mouthpiece for
that. True, but Grant, I assume he's not doing that for free, so... Yes. You know, it's kind of like everybody's going to criticize your quarterback. Well, your quarterback's making money, so it kind of is what it is. We'll actually talk about Tennessee and UTEP, what this game can mean for the Volunteers, all that and more. But I do want to give a shout out to our friends over at Premier Garage of Knoxville. Garage guys or gals who bleed orange, do you use your garage as some sort of man cave? Watching football throughout the fall, or maybe even trying to get a quick escape from the family. If you're like me, I like to go out there and just kind of hang out, maybe have a cold one or two, watch a little football, and it's my place. It's a sanctuary of sorts, if you will. So here's a question for you. What's the better compliment to your garage floor than Premier Garage of Knoxville's custom smoky gray hybrid polymer floor? Okay. Premier Garage of Knoxville is East Tennessee's leading provider in custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. They only use company employees as opposed to subcontractors to ensure that you receive the consistent craftsmanship and personalized attention. So what does this smoky gray hybrid polymer floor look like? Well, I'm going to show you right now if you're watching on YouTube. This is what it looks like, and it's absolutely gorgeous. Okay, you see that speckled gray and orange in the background right here? You see this video? I'm going to hit play. Look at that floor.
You could eat dinner off that floor.
I mean, look how beautiful that is. And you'd be a Tennessee fan, you'd be the talk of your neighborhood, right? You'd be the talk of the friend group. You have everybody over to check that out. And obviously, you can schedule a free in-home consultation up here at premiergarageknoxville.com/vols. write your name, email address, phone number, zip code, all that, and you got a phone number up here. It's your one-stop shop for this beautiful, beautiful speckled floor, smoky gray speckled floor at premiergarageknoxville.com/vol. So, they're fantastic. I've had them out to the new house, and they've done some work for me, and it looks really, really great. And they can do the same for you as well at premiergarageknoxville.com/vols. 15 plus years in the business, locally owned and operated. Thousands of satisfied customers. So turn your garage into a smoky gray hybrid polymer floor today. You can do it all at premiergarageknoxville.com/vols. One more time, that is premiergarageknoxville.com/vols. So as always, I appreciate them for being a proud sponsor of our show. And I do want to give a shout out to Price Picks as well, where you can put some coin in your pocket this holiday season. There is a lot going on right now. And over at Price Picks, it's simple. It's fun. You're really just picking more than or less than a projected stat value. And plus, right now, Price Picks, if you play $5, you're going to get $50 instantly if you put in that promo code VQ. That promo code VQ for $50 instantly, $5 in lineups, PricePicks.com/VQ, promo code VQ. So, again, what exactly is Price Picks? It's as simple as this. Okay, you have a player grid, 2 to 5 players. They're going to give a projected stat value for that player, and you're literally going to click more than or less than. As many as 6, no less than 2. It can be college football. It can be NFL. It can be NBA. What's up, Dalton Connect? You know, what if that stat is at 35 points? Might be tempted to take the more than, right? It could be NBA, college, soccer, whatever the case may be, but just 2, no more than 6, no less than 2, no more than 6, and you can watch the winnings roll in. Again, one more time, you get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 in lineup. You put in that promo code VQ. Promo code VQ at PricePicks.com/VQ, promo code VQ. It is Tennessee. It is UTEP coming up at noon. Hello, Grant Ramey. We're going to be home by like, what, 7, 8 o'clock? Can't wait for that. A noon kickoff against UTEP. Tennessee trying to improve to 9-2 on the season, and of course stay right where they need to be in this college football playoff hunt. Obviously, coming off a tough loss on the road to Georgia, Grant. Let me ask you this, man. This has been kind of a popular question this week. Compare leaving Athens in 2022 to 2024, because for me, you know, both 14-point losses. But I left Athens in 2022 saying, boy, there's one team that is a whole lot better than the other. And then I left in 2024 saying, boy, Tennessee could have won that game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the way the first quarter played out, I think you saw the growth of Tennessee's program over the last 2 years. I mean, you know, it was obviously a pretty bad night from there on. But I think they made some progress there, and I think you saw a little bit more of a, shortening the gap a little bit in terms of where the two programs are. Obviously, Georgia is not quite the same Georgia that they've been the last few years this season with 2 losses. And I think Tennessee's been a lot better this year as a whole than they've been under Josh Heupel, because you look at the defensive progress that they've made. Obviously, the offensive inconsistencies are maddening for Tennessee fans, and I certainly understand that. But it does still feel like the potential is there. If you can go to Sanford Stadium in a night game and go up 10-0 and control the ball the way they did in that first quarter, I think that's something to grow on. I don't think that's what anybody wants to hear, but I do think it's progress. I do think it steps in the right direction. And there's still a lot to play for, because they're still alive in the playoff stuff like we talked about the whole first half of the show. And if you can just get that offense to click, if you can just get the, you know, it just feels like everybody's been off a little bit all season at different times, wide receivers, quarterbacks, offensive line, running back. If they could just get all those guys to click at some point, man, this team could be dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, you said it on one of the podcasts this week. I said it on radio in Nashville on Tuesday. Like, it's almost like, all right, whose turn is it this week to let your team
right,
down?
Right.
Like, I mean, it's been quarterback at times. It's been receivers several times. You know, earlier in the season, it was the offensive line. They got better. Did not have a good night against Georgia. But, you know, it's kind of like, all right, which group is going to –
It's been play calling and scheme at times, and just rhythm and continuity and consistency and putting your offense in the best position to succeed when it feels like they've been in second and long all season.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, I think play calling has been very, very impatient throughout the season.
Yes.
At points and times. And, you know, everybody listening is like, just because they want someone to hate, someone to get
right.
fired. They want,
right.
they want one person, whether it's a player or a coach, but it's really just a cumulative effort. And that's not great. But, you know, Tennessee, despite all that, you're seeing the growth of the program to where it wasn't on Saturday night, but you have a good defense, okay? You have a really good run game. And for as bad as Tennessee's offense has been throughout the season, boy, that run game's been great. And nobody, like I feel like the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't even realize that. Like, you know, last time I checked, there's three phases in football. There's offense, defense, and special teams. I know I'm sounding like a coach talk right now, but I mean, it's still true. Defense, special teams, even a subcategory of your offense and the run game, all those are either good enough or above average, right? And then it's just one phase, but everybody's wanting points and everybody's wanting highlights and everybody's scoreboard watching, yet you're still a very respected and good football team and finding ways to win in different ways in games, such as Tennessee this year. That's not sexy to the playoff committee. They just look at final scores because they do not watch every single – I don't care what they say. They do not watch every single game. They can't. It's impossible to watch every single game.
Well, you guys mentioned on Tuesday's podcast, would 10-2 be a disappointment? Even posing that question and it being a legitimate question is such a huge compliment to Josh Heupel and the staff and what they've built, because there were points between, you know, 2009 and present day where Tennessee fans would crawl over broken glass to get to 10-2, regardless of the context. Now, in the context of this season, is it a disappointment? Yeah, a little bit, because Arkansas is a bad football team. You should have beat them up 14-3 in the second half. Should have handled your business. You wouldn't be having any playoff conversations right now. But
let's be fair. That Arkansas win was a really, really good win for Texas. Okay, so let's play fair here. According to the ESPN graphics, that was a great win for Texas. A horrible loss for Tennessee,
which makes complete sense. But I mean. And I agree with what you guys said on Tuesday, that it's kind of both. Like, it can be a disappointment in the context of this season and what's and how it's played out and what could be on the line if you did handle your business in Fayetteville. But it's also a compliment that just posing that question and it being a legitimate question, it tells you how far the program has come. And I think you saw some of that progress at Georgia. Obviously, you just didn't see enough of it.
Yep, and so here you are, you're 8-2, looking to go to 9-2 on the season, and Vanderbilt, of course, is no slouch to end the regular season. Tennessee will absolutely have to be geared up and ready to roll for that one, because that'll be Vanderbilt's Super Bowl, and then you got UTEP today, which, again, Tennessee could go out there and play its backups and still should win by 20-plus points. Got to go out there and do it, I understand all that, but not a whole lot, I guess what I'm trying to say is not a whole lot of room to impress the committee in the last couple weeks, so... We'll see what happens. Let's look at this. I'm going to continue to disrespect UTEP. Let's talk about senior
day. Poor
miners.
Those poor miners.
I know
they disrespected.
They didn't deserve this. Senior day, man. We'll get an official list. We'll see who's out there and all that. And remember, just because you walk through senior day, a lot of these guys will have another opportunity to come back. So doesn't necessarily mean they're done. Brew McCoy walked last year. Of course, he came back and all this. But there is a hefty group or a hefty list of guys who are out of eligibility. And a lot of those guys stayed here through the coaching change and instrumental in helping build Tennessee into what it is now. Even Brew McCoy, who wasn't here during the coaching change but arrived for 2022. I mean, he's been here for a long time and been a huge part of what Tennessee's done the last couple of years. It's a special group of seniors, man. And It's a group that's going to be hard to replace, especially you look at all the losses on the offensive line, just guys who have been here and played a whole lot of football.
I mean, it feels, I guess it is the fourth year in a row that Heupel has said, like, these guys could have left and they chose to stay. And it, I mean, that's a legit sentiment. Like, it's easier now than ever to move around, to find a new home, to go somewhere that you can play immediately. And I mean, you go back to January 2021, where Tennessee was during that coaching change, the amount of players, the amount of talent that left this program, the black cloud that this program was under because of the NCAA investigation and stuff that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff brought onto this program. It would have been very easy and nobody would have blamed anybody for leaving. I don't know what number of guys are still around from that era, from that team, from that moment. But these guys that did stick around and decide to stick it out with Heupel, I mean, it's hard to argue what they mean to the program, what this period has been like to get Tennessee back to where you're 10-2 and you're trying to go 10-2 and you're talking about a college football playoff. You're trying to go 10-2, I guess, for the second time in 3 years.
Yeah, could you imagine in January of 2021, even right after Heupel was hired, but just in January of 2021, if future self would have came over there and said, yo, Kaner, Tennessee's going to win 10 games twice out of the next three seasons.
Right.
They're going to go to the Orange Bowl. They're going to have they're either going to be or going to be right on the doorstep of an expanded, it happens, an expanded college football playoffs. I'd be like, "You're crazy! You're crazy, man!"
And they're gonna be paying guys in broad daylight, and it's gonna be fine. And
I'm gonna be like, "Oh, so it's legal now? Okay, cool."
You go back to that day specifically when Eric Gray entered the portal, Henry Toto entered the portal, Wanya Morris entered the portal, all within 5 minutes of each other, and it felt like, "Where does this program go from here? Like, how do you recover?" Like, but because of guys that stuck around from all these classes the last few years, it's a huge deal. Like, these guys should be recognized. They should be, given their moment in the sun a little bit. Obviously, it's actually a day game for once, thank God.
It will literally be in the sun, we hope. We hope it's
There's going to be a fireball in the sky on Saturday. Nobody be alarmed. That's just the sun. It can happen. But, yeah, I mean, they deserve this moment. They deserve the stage because of what they've done over these last X number of years.
Grant, give us some memories of your senior day football in high school. What do you remember?
I don't remember anything. My biggest memory is we lost in the third round of the playoffs, and I've been scarred ever since.
Must be
actually, I do remember. I do remember doing the whole honor at midfield thing and all that stuff. So yes, I do remember that part.
Must be nice to play in the third round of the playoffs when you're in high school.
Well, it didn't make it feel any better when we lost. So
we made it to the third round one time with Carson Newman, which is like the Elite Eight, and then the team we lost to, Valdosta, went on to win the national championship, so I say that's a pretty good loss. 1 week away from playing on ESPN and oh, snow in Minnesota.
Oh, man.
Missed out on that. UTEP. Studied UTEP all week long. Is there anything that kind of jumps out? I mean, the biggest thing is, of course, Austin Peay's former head coach, Scotty Walden. He's now the head coach over at Austin Peay. UTEP. He took about 11 players with him, okay? They transferred via the transfer portal. The entire wide receiver room, it feels like, is filled with former Govs. They have played a couple different quarterbacks the last couple of weeks. Their starting quarterback for the season and Cade McConnell, he's been out the last three games. Skylar Locklear is the assumed starting quarterback. He's the backup, and he missed the game against MTSU 2 weeks ago with a concussion. So J.P. Pickles, not Dylan Pickles, J.P. Pickles, started that football game. But they've had a couple of trick plays and everything. Like, if you look at the stats, they have like six or seven guys who have thrown a pass this year, but it's not that extreme. Should be Skylar Locklear being the starter at quarterback, but Javon Jackson's a former Gov at running back, and you've got Cam Thomas, you've got Trey Goodman, you've got Kenny Odom. All those guys were wide receivers, former Govs. It's a heavy end of the transfer portal, obviously, an offense that is averaging 19.2 points per game, which is not fantastic. They've turned it over 15 times. They're not running the football very well. A bad offense to a bad football team so far in year number one, and should be a nice little get-right time for the Tennessee defense.
Yeah, it's a weird scenario where it is that Austin Peay coaching staff or head coach, I don't know how many members of the staff he brought with him, a lot of those Austin Peay players, and they're coming back to Tennessee for the second year in a row. It's just it's a different kind of weird scenario. Also, J.P. Pickles, all-time name. All-time name. I don't know if he's related to Tommy Pickles from Rugrats and the Pickles family.
Oh, did I? It's Tommy. Yeah, I said, did I say Dylan? I thought Dylan was his
Tommy
name.
Tommy Pickles. Tommy Pickles is Rugrats, yes.
Well, okay, there you go. You probably watch more Rugrats than me. I thought it was Dylan, but Tommy, there you go.
Is that a comment about my age?
That is a fact check on X. So,
And go back to that Austin Peay game. What was it, last September last year? I mean, that was a, bitter taste in your mouth leaving that game. I think, what was it, 30-13? Like Tennessee
30-13. The offense looked trash in the second half. It was bad.
So you would expect Tennessee to kind of remember that. There's a lot of guys that were involved in that game that are going to be on the field on Saturday, and you would, and what Brew McCoy said Tuesday, right? That Tennessee needs to win decisively in these games. Like, they need to prove a point. Style points matter. So you got to go out and you got to handle your business, starting with UTEP and then going to Vandy next week. So it's a big couple weeks against teams that Tennessee can get style points against, but you got to go out there and do it.
Yeah, in the Monday press conference, I'm the guy that always asks about the next opponent. So it's really kind of silly whenever Tennessee's playing UTC or Kent State or UTEP, and I'm just like, hey, what have you seen on film? Because I'm trying to get a quote for First Glance. It's kind of a running joke, but I rephrased it this week. Yeah, rephrased it. I had a couple people come up to me and say, good work on rephrasing your question, the angle. I said, Scotty Walden and Austin Peay, how much can you go back and watch that game and see tendencies and schemes and all that in preparation, for UTEP? And essentially, they kind of are who they are, but they have new personnel, and they have new coaches and all that, so you have to adapt. And what I would expect for the Tennessee defense, Grant, is for a lot of mesh linebackers running sideline to sideline. That's what they did against Tennessee last year. So especially if you're in man coverage, you know, you're going to be running a lot because I think they're going to be a lot of underneath routes to kind of help out their quarterback. Flip it over defensively. It was a pretty decent defense for UTEP last year, but of course, kind of starting over here, they're averaging giving up 29.7 points per game, which is not pleasant. Nearly 400 yards total offense, 211 through the air, 171 on the ground. So, oh boy, Tennessee should be able to run. Tennessee should be able to average 6 yards per carry, in my opinion, in this game. They've got a pretty nice defensive end, Maurice Westmoreland. He was all first team Conference USA last year. They got a nice defensive tackle that's got like 7.5 TFLs. They, you know, it's never great when your safeties are leading your team in tackles. They got some good safeties in terms of on the stat sheet, but end of the day, man, it should be, I don't care who's playing quarterback. I don't care who's playing tackle. I don't care who's playing running back. Tennessee should go out there and score it well. Needs to be, and that's what I'm expecting today.
Get right game. It's got to be a get right weekend. It's got to reset. Get that taste out of your mouth from Georgia last week and do some scoreboard watching, at least for us.
All right. Give me some guys who are going to ball out today. Actually, let me go first. Make sure you don't take it. It is senior day.
Okay.
Give me Brew McCoy to score a freaking touchdown. All right. Give me Brew McCoy. Not one, but two. Brew McCoy's going to score two touchdowns, so double the cookie order. All right. It's senior day. I think they're going to make it a point to I mean, I haven't heard anything, but knowing this staff, they're going to make it a point to try to get him in the end zone, I think, as a reward on senior day. So give me Brew McCoy, two touchdowns, and Tennessee to win. I don't know. I mean, I don't think UTEP will score more than 10 points. Give me Tennessee 60-something, UTEP 10.
You can't go 60-something. Give us a number.
I'm not going to go 69, even though I want to. Give you 63, Tennessee 63, UTEP 10, and that would absolutely blow the total out of the water. They'd be well over. But I think this is going to be an overtop football game because I think it's going to be one of those games, Grant, where I think Tennessee's going to score like five times on its first six possessions. You're going to jump up like 40 something to zero, and then you know
the stadium's going to empty.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that game.
And then the bench is going to empty. I'll go Tennessee 56-0. I think the defense will have a point to prove after they did not play their best four quarters of football by a mile at Georgia last week. I will go not senior related. I'll go the other end of the spectrum. I'll go Peyton Lewis leading rusher because I think this is a kind of a maintenance day for a lot of guys. If you can jump out early and handle your business because you are a banged up football team, it felt like Dylan Sampson was off the field in a lot of critical situations at Georgia, which to me tells me he's probably hurting a little bit, which is you would believe that based on his workload and the numbers he's put up this season. So take advantage of that. And I just like Peyton Lewis, too, as a prospect, as a player. I think he's been impressive. The opportunities he's gotten, and UTEP gives up yards on the ground, so somebody's got to take advantage of it.
Yeah, he's been stronger than I thought he would be. Not to think that I thought he was going to be weak. We know he's speed-wise, he's fast.
Right.
But like running, he runs too high. I don't like that. But like running through tackles, trying to finish the right way. Like he ran over that safety from Mississippi State. I mean, that was, the guy got hurt. I mean, I think he's okay, obviously, but that was a really, really good finish. So I've been impressed with him. Oklahoma was the one game this year that, it's incredible. The one game this year that Dylan Sampson didn't finish with over 100 yards
insane.
Rushing.
It's insane. And to go for 100 against Georgia when I'm not sure he's 100% healthy against that Georgia defense on a night where Tennessee struggled to get anything going consistently offensively after that first quarter speaks to who Dylan Sampson is.
Yeah, he's a baller, man, and that offensive line has been really great blocking for him. But even Dylan Sampson, again, he's had so many yards after first contact. It's insane. But that Oklahoma game is the only game this year he's failed to reach 100 yards. I think this game could be that as well, simply because I think they're going to try to rest him. But do remember UTC, NC State, Kent State. I mean, they got in. They got, like, Dylan Sampson had, like, 130 yards rushing, two touchdowns in the second quarter against probably Kent State. Like, it could be one of those to where you get in, handle business, get out, and then let these other guys, Khalifa Keith and Cam Seldon, who's already burned his red shirt, and all those guys go and cook. So we will see what happens. How excited are you about next week going to Nashville? How excited are you about potentially waiting until like 11 o'clock on Friday night to go halfway with me and AP because we have to do high school football?
That's just kind of what the weekends are now. I don't think I've been in the bed before 3 a.m. on Saturday since August because of all the night games that we, and the travel schedule that we've had. So it'd just be like an extension of what we've been doing for the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Tennessee and UTEP today, Tennessee and Vanderbilt coming up next weekend. Hey, appreciate you guys listening to us here, watching us here on the GameQuest podcast. It is EvolveQuest.com game day podcast. GameQuest is presented by our great friends over at Premier Garage of Knoxville, East Tennessee's number one provider of custom garage flooring, cabinetry, and storage solutions. You can be the best Tennessee fan this football season by ordering the Smoky Gray Hybrid Polymer Floor today. That's at PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. PremierGarageKnoxville.com/Vols. For Grant Ramey, I am Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys, as always, for being here. Tell your friends. Subscribe to the channel. If you're watching on YouTube, give this a like. Throw us a comment, all that and more. We'll see what's in store for Tennessee and UTEP. Going to be Tennessee by 50, in my opinion. And we'll recap it all over at BallQuest.com.